Hi everybody, I am Bob. I am a compulsive eater. Very grateful to be with you tonight. Show a picture for those on the audio. You won't be able to hear that, of course, see this, but that's a picture of me when I was roughly about 300 pounds. I stopped weighing myself when I got to that point, but I believe I was around 300 pounds when I came in the program. So I'm Bob. I'm a compulsive eater. I came into program November 3rd, 2003. I've been abstinent since March 11th, 2004. And by the grace of my higher power, given away and maintaining 120 pound weight loss. I consider myself a compulsive overeater and also an undereater. So that's why I use the word compulsive eater, because I'm both. I've had issues with both overeating, which is my main problem, but I've also had issues with overexercising as well. That is part of my story. And also just being a slave to the scale, which probably a few of you can relate to, that when I was losing weight, I was very upbeat and positive about myself. And when I was gaining weight, I was not so positive about myself. But starting back when I was very young, I found myself having, now I can see a pattern of having an abnormal relationship with food and drink, specifically sugary drinks. So I was very much a slave to the food, even when I was a young boy. In fact, I would choose my friends by what snack cakes they would be serving, might be serving, you know, or things that they might have after school. And of course, I would eat all of those, you know, snacks. And then I would go home, even though I was stuffed to the gills, I would still eat my full dinner, you know. And my family was one that was, my dad was a military person. And you take food, you eat the food, you clean your plate. And that was something that, you know, clean your plate, clean your plate, clean your plate. And then, hey, we only have this little bit left. Don't you want a little bit more, you know, and then clean your plate. And then you get the mixed messages when you start gaining some weight, you know, where you're, you know, my parents were saying, you're getting a little heavy, Bob. Maybe, you know, might want to, you know, try to lose some weight. But then the next meal, they'd be like, clean your plate. Here's why you have a little bit more. So it really was confusing to me when I was young. In fact, I blamed my mom for cooking too much food for me being the weight that I was, which is absolutely absurd. She didn't force feed me, but I certainly believe that that contributed to it. I was from a large family, large Italian family, youngest of seven. And as all of my family started moving out, you know, sisters moved out, brothers started moving out. Well, there's Bob. He's still at home with his parents. And my mom, great cook, she was still cooking for nine. You know, she was cooking for all of us. And certainly I would oblige. And it wasn't just eating then. It was, you know, the sneak eating afterward. It was, you know, okay, everyone else is in bed. It's time for me to have, you know, my second meal and go into the refrigerator or to go into the snack cakes, which were only supposed to be for lunches. And I would, you know, sneak out the snack cakes and try to, you know, hide the wrappers. And, you know, obviously, you know, you can only hide for so long, but it really wouldn't matter. It was like, okay, it was funny because I just went back to my mom's this weekend and I saw the same snack cakes that I was eating when I was, you know, 8 years old or whatever. It was like, oh my God. And instantly brought back the memories of those times. And I was like, wow, wow. You know, and the power that snack cake still can have over me, you know, just for a second, just for a moment. But obviously, because my program is strong, you know, I'm not going to give in just because of the sight of something now, you know. But it was amazing how much those memories are still there, you know. And you know, I've been abstinent for 17 years, you know, and I haven't touched one of those snack cakes in a long time. But still, you know, that emotions are still there. So I was a very much an emotional eater. And I didn't really realize that as much until I got older. And when I got married and had two kids, and I got a very stressful job. All of that was just so much for me. It was just overwhelming. So it wasn't just the stress, though. It was also how I felt about myself and self-esteem, and not feeling good enough, always feeling inferior, feeling that I wasn't a leader. And I would beat myself up for that. I wasn't didn't match up to my brothers because they were able to do things that I weren't wasn't able to do physically, or as far as handyman stuff, I couldn't do those things. I was totally disregarding all of the positives and talents that I did have, and I was looking at those negatives. And all of those negative emotions really had to go somewhere, and I bottled a lot of them up inside until eventually I would explode, or I would eat over them. I would suppress the feelings with food, or I would explode. And I did both. And neither are very good. And I learned that again in a way that I don't have to do that anymore. But I went through a lot of years where that was a big problem for me, as far as being able to handle those emotions. I just didn't know how to, and I really was. I would keep things inside, and that's not good. In fact, when I was much younger, I kept things inside, and I would usually be able to tell my mom things and talk to her when I was younger. But this particular issue that I was keeping inside was something that I couldn't share with her, and because of that, I had no outlet. And because of that, I ended up having an anxiety attack. So again, in a way, it was something that I need to sh so I learned early on that I need to share those feelings. And that actually helped me in a way. It was kind of very similar. It's like you need to share those feelings. You need to let them get out, because bottling them up inside is not healthy. So that was a good lesson for me early on. Again, another God moment. The bad things in our life, right? We consider bad, but you can also look at the positives of them. So I can look at it as an anxiety attack. It's like, yeah, that's a good thing because, as I even when I, got to the point where I was so totally depressed and I couldn't lose weight anymore, I had dieted and gain weight, lose weight, gain weight, lose weight. And I really never, one of the things I never learned how to plateau. I would always be in either weight gaining or weight losing mode. And finally I got to the point where I was just so depressed, that I couldn't lose weight anymore. I just refused to diet. I was like, I'm done. I'm absolutely done. A friend of mine saw that and she said, hey, what's wrong? And I said, well, I just don't like how I feel. I don't like who I am. I don't like how I look. I don't like anything, and she could tell I was very, very down. And she was in a 12-step program for another fellowship. And she said, they do have help for you, Bob, if you want to go to it. And, it's called Overeaters Anonymous. It's a 12-step program. And I was like, I heard 12-step program. And I had such a negative view of it at the time, because the only view I had was of my nephew who was a drug addict. And I said, I am not him. I am not as bad off as him. I don't need to, I'm not a drug addict. And, I just couldn't equate food as a drug at that point. So it took me 3 years of getting my butt kicked, by food, 3 more years for me finally to hit my bottom. And I did. And, it takes what it takes, right? I guess if I went in at that time, I probably wouldn't have been ready, but those 3 years, was enough for me to say, hey, I'm done. But it's also another thing is like when, she shared that with me. And now I share this program with other people outside of OA. And they may not be receptive. They may not, I may never even know whether they went into OA 3 years later or not, but they might, right? So that's why my job is to plant the seed. I do believe that. I'm going to break my own anonymity, which to share this with others because it's that important. This saved my life. And I really believe that I would have, if I went and kept on this path, I would probably have I may not be around right now. I would have probably kept eating, been depressed. Who knows what would have happened? I did have thoughts of suicide at one point in time, but weird ones, like cutting the skin off of my, cutting the fat off of me, because I would hold the rolls of fat, and I just couldn't stand it anymore. So I wanted to get the kitchen shears and cut them off, cut off my love handles, So thank you, Ross. So came in the program. Great. No, not great. Because I looked who was in the room. There was 20 women and one other guy, and the guy was a newcomer. So I really didn't feel like I fit in, but I listened and I stayed and I did hear what I needed to hear. And by the time I left that meeting, I had tears in my eyes. Of course, I ran out of the meeting. I didn't want to talk to anybody because I was too afraid and too ashamed, but at least I was there, and I kept coming back to that meeting. And eventually I got help and I went and was taken by a friend, at that meeting to find a sponsor. And she took me to Intergroup and I found a male sponsor and who just happened to be somebody who weighed and measured and stayed away from sugar and flour. And I just said, I don't care. I'll do whatever you say right now because, I'm just grateful to have help. And I did stay away from sugar and flour. And hey, lo and behold, God knows what he's doing because that's exactly what I needed. And the disciplines that I learned are something that I still do to this day, and I'm grateful for that. And I did feel at first was like, this is, torturing myself. This is just another way to I have to sacrifice and gosh, and I didn't really want to do it, but I did it. And then when I stopped eating those foods, they happened to be the same foods that were calling me. And you know what? I felt such a freedom. I was like, gosh, I love this feeling. Why would I want to go back? So that's what I remember now is like, yeah, I don't eat certain foods and that's okay. Because why would I want to eat the certain foods that were poisoning me then? Why would I want to go back and feel the way that I did? I don't want to go back to that. I don't care how good it tastes. It really doesn't. So it's not a sacrifice. It's not, a punishment to not eat those foods. It's just doing what I need to do. And I'd rather have this life now than I had than the life that I had before. And I always remember that. I do want to mention that after I did, start losing weight by following a food plan and, and working with a sponsor and to work on the mental part of this by working the steps. I had lost the weight, but I never still didn't know how to plateau. So that's when I actually lost too much weight. And a friend, again, a friend in OA was willing to say, hey, Bob, I think you're a little too thin. Maybe you should check and go to a nutritionist and get some expert help. And I did, and I sure enough, I was too thin because, again, the mental part of it was like, lose weight, good Bob, lose weight, good Bob. And I kept losing. And I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was following a food plan, but I just wasn't eating enough food for a person my size. I was using my sponsor's plan, And he was a guy who was, smaller than I was. So, but I still didn't think I was doing anything wrong. So it was hard for me to mentally grasp, but I realized that food still had control over me, right? I really wasn't letting go of that control. So I was able to let it go and I was able to rely on an expert. And sure enough, I still see an expert now, even today, because I'm a runner and I still need help planning my food. And I know as I get older, I'm going to have to go back and, as well. So I'm not afraid to get the help that I need. So please, if you need help, get it because it's a wonderful thing. And it's so freeing because you're like, I don't have to, be all and do it all myself. I have help and my sponsor and experts and whoever it is, it's just been a wonderful help. Spiritual part of this program is huge for me. Thank you, Ross. Is that 1 minute left or is that time up? 1 minute. Thank you. So I didn't get a chance to talk through the steps, but my coming in to this program, I had no spirituality. Now I believe I am so spiritual and I wouldn't want to live any other way. My relationship with my higher power continues to grow day by day, and to live my life, doing God's will is what I want to be doing, So whether it's service in this program, service outside of this program, whatever it is, I'm just so grateful to live my life the way now so much more than it was before. I don't regret the past, and I've learned so much from it. But I'm just so happy to live day by day into doing God's will and to be a spiritual being, to be a spiritual person, because that has certainly changed my life. You know, I have experienced strength and hope to share with other people. I do see that as a responsibility. I do see service as a responsibility in any way, shape, or form. But to be a sponsor is a most valuable, important one, because that's how I got this program, was to get that from my sponsor. I'm just so grateful for that. So any way that I can help another person in this program is a blessing, not only to that person, but to myself as well. So thanks for letting me share. I was grateful to be with you tonight.